All right. Joshua 24th chapter. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Joshua 24. Yeah. This is favor on your family. Favor on your family. That's what we entitled this time. Favor on your family. We're going to look at the ABCs of having the favor of God on your family. It's not always just automatic that people understand, how can I have God's favor on my family? Joshua, the 24th chapter, and the 15th verse. Joshua 24:15. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods, that's little g, of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see how that man made that declaration? Every family should declare that our family is going to serve God. And when you do that, you attract God's blessings. You actually attract God's blessing on your family. The favor of God will come on your family. And when that family chooses to function according to the godly principles, then they experience God's best. So families can do that. And God actually uses families. Some families, I noticed in the Bible, God uses some families to be priests. Some family, God uses some families to be in fivefold ministry. Some families have a call on their life and their family, a call to help ministers. Some families are called, I mean, everybody's supposed to be in helps ministry, but some families are called, it's obvious, some families are called to be a blessing and help and hold up the pastor's arms, really. Families are used that way. They have gifts. They have gifts, and they delight to do that. Families are called, and God uses families. But the main thing that you want to do to have the grace, the favor of God, or the grace, same thing, on your life and your family, and you want to declare that, and then your family, you know, he said, as for me and my house, and you can look at scriptures, people in Joshua's house after he even passed away, those people were specifically, they were serving the Lord. That man said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I notice mama, sometimes in the holidays, people come home and they want to stay at mama's house. And sometimes they be contemplating getting married. They think they're going to get married, but they want to come and just stay. She won't even let them stay in the same house under her roof if they're not married. Even if they're in different rooms. Nope. They got to go stay somewhere else. When you're married, y'all can come stay here. Okay, but you want to, she'll let one of them stay there, but she won't let any of her descendants, if they're not married, both of them can't stay in the house together, you know. And that's communication. That's just a rule. It communicates. We serve the Lord here. You see what I'm talking about? Well, we're going to be in different rooms. Okay, well, can't stay here unless you can't stay here together. If you're courting, you can't stay here if you're together. You know, it just communicates something. And I'm not saying do that or not do that, but I mentioned that because there's a identity. And your family should have certain things when you're pursuing this favor of God on your family. Your children ought to have a perception about this is what our family is about. They should identify themselves. And when they're growing up, they're born into your family, but they ought to pick up from you that this is how we roll. This is how our family is. Now I have some P's so you can remember it. You know, this is hermeneutical excellence to give these P's so you can remember these five laws of pursuing favor on your family. All right. One is perception. Number two, passion. You see in his voice, he said, y'all choose what y'all going to do. If it seem right for you to do this, but you're going to have to make a choice this day. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So members of your family ought to have a certain perception about what y'all really are about. It should be very clear. And a passion should be there. And it should be a priority. My family, your family, what we are about is a priority. And proclamation, say it at certain times. Certain times of the year when you get together, you need to get the family together and the people in that household, the people who are in charge of that, say it where the members of the family hear it again. They don't need to just have heard it. Every time, periodically, when the family comes together, make it very clear, this is what we are about here. And tell them about the history, about how God brought you and where you were and what we are about, and compliment each other. So that's supposed to be in their life. So those little children, little children are supposed to pick up on the fact that this is what our family is about. They're supposed to have a perception that speaks that our family serves the Lord. They should have it should be a priority, and it should be proclamation. They need to hear you say it. They need to hear you talk about your commitment that this family is serving the Lord. And I got one more P. Progression. Yeah. When you learn things at church, you learn things in the Word of God, 10 years from now, some of the things that I teach right now, I might not even teach them because God has just ever learning, and it'll be tweaked. Some of these sentences might be tweaked because we are learning more, but when you learn more, you apply that, and then you have this advancement. So those P's are perception, passion, priority, proclamation. That means letting people hear it. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying that our family is the gold standard, but I'm just sharing what things go on in our family. At least once a year, when everybody gets together, the patriarch and the matriarch of our family, and it's kind of like, since it's a lot of ministers in our family, some of us get involved too, but there's a time all the people get around, it's like, and they tell, just like Moses did, just like Joshua did, just like Jesus did, they tell about where God brought them from, how they used to be, how daddy used to fan mama while, they didn't have no fan, while they were rocking the baby. He would fan her, and then she'd get to fan and fan him. Yeah, yeah. They're making $38 a month. See, we can tell the story because we heard over and over, $38 a week. And they built all of these, so much, and how God took care of them. And so you just be around that family gathering, you get ministered to, and the children get a perception, our family serve God. This is our family. God is our God. And so now a key to having favor of God on your family is honor. Honor. H-O-N-O-R. The favor of God will rest on a family to the degree that you honor and manage your family relationship. As I said, honor and you manage that relationship. I plan to talk to you about, as I said, it might not get to it today, some ABCs of how to have that favor on your family, you know. But let's turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter, the third chapter, talking about honor. Yeah, that's, you're supposed to honor, and favor of God rests on your family and on your life, and what key is honor. Men, husbands supposed to be honored even if they don't have everything going, going on just right. They'll come on around, but just the honor, a wife honoring her husband, it'll keep the favor of God on that marriage and on that woman, and the man honoring people, that family, it'll have God's grace on that family. That's 1 Peter, the third chapter. So even if the guy is not doing everything right, that still, you still can manage that thing where God ends up talking to the man without the wife having to win him by just depending on throwing scriptures at him. And it's a way to do it in God's favor. Favor is God's ability. God helping out. God helping in that situation. God's ability on a person to even do things. Okay, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that you, that if any, see, if the man might not even be obeying the word. If any, obey not the word. See, some things that God gives the woman, she can see stuff before the man sees it. And it's very, very common for them to see it, and the man just don't see it yet. But even if he's not obeying the word, that they also may, look at this, without saying, they say a word or the word. Yeah, without the word. Without the word, be one that you can win the man without talking to him. I'm not saying don't talk to him, but I'm just saying this scripture says you can, without the word, win him. That they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. Conversation, that means manner, how you're carrying yourself. It's a manner of living. While they, the man, he beholds your chaste, that it is, conversation. He's not talking about you're talking, he's talking about what he can see. And you couple that with honor. You match that up with honor. And see, that's how you entreat the grace, that means God's help, God's ability, God getting involved. See, you can't see God, but you can apply principles and know that if this is in place, God will get involved. Because 7 says, if you're married to somebody, that person who you are married to is set apart, that means sanctified, for God to do something with. Yeah. If they married to you, that's the person who God would work certain things on your behalf through. And you honor that relationship and put that principle in place, you don't even have to talk very much. Without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation, coupled, you put that together with reverence of fear. It's not being scared of them, but it speaks of honor. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning. Now, you know God is not telling you don't wear clothes. And he's not telling you what kind of clothes to wear. He's not telling you not to wear, not to braid your hair, not to put on makeup. He's not telling you that. He's not telling you don't wear nice clothes. Don't. He's not. He's just saying, don't let what you are trusting in to make the results be braiding your hair, wearing certain kind of clothes, wearing a gold. You know, go and wear the gold, but don't let your adorning that you're trusting in be what you're wearing. Yeah, I like my wife to look good to me, don't y'all? And some barns do better if they're painted. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. I'm so. Oh my goodness! All right. So if y'all do tie me up, don't hang me up. Just tie me up and pray for me 12 hours. Don't hang me up. Okay. So see, while they behold what they're gonna be looking at, they behold you the way you're carrying yourself. You match that up with honor and fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel. Now, if I'm going to pull my gold off, I got to pull my clothes off, if that's what that means. No, he's talking about that's not what I'm trusting in to get results. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Look at this, which is in the sight of God. See, that's where you see God. You know God is observing this. And if this is in place, you can rest assured God will get involved. See, you're doing this in the sight of God. Of great price. Because after this manner, see that manner of living, in the old times, the holy women also, come on, they trusted in God. See, they weren't trusting in what they were. They were putting their trust in God, and so they was conducting themselves in the sight of God so that they can get some results. Because God gets involved. Your husband is sanctified for God to do something with. See? And they trusted in God. But after this manner in old times, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husband, even as Sarah. She obeyed Abraham, calling him what? Calling him Lord, still calling him my Lord, still calling him Lord. While he was not doing what she wanted him to do, and she knew it wasn't right what he was doing. He didn't want to do it. He wasn't ready to make that move yet. But God told Abraham, you do what your wife said do. See, God got involved. But how she did that, for after the same manner, in the old times, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husband, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not panicked. Don't panic like God can't come through for you. No, not afraid with any sudden amazement. That means don't panic. Don't panic because it seems like it's not working. It'll be a space of time, sometime when it seemed like it's not working. He said, don't panic. You are Sarah's daughter. You can do it that way and have the favor of God to help you. That means grace, God's ability on a man to complete a task. Okay. Now, say likewise. Okay, so wives need to be honored. Yeah. Likewise. I'm glad you said likewise. Because this passage of scripture is talking about honor. I'm trying to tell you that you can teach your children. If you know somebody, some of your kinfolk who are married, tell them that the key to having God's favor on your life and on your marriage, one main key is this honor. These how you manage that relationship. you can manage your relationships in such a way that you can have God's favor on your life and on your family. Okay, this third chapter. Now, likewise, you husbands, okay? Now the women can exhale. You husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving, come on, honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs, come on, together of the grace of life. So how I manage my marriage, this relationship with my wife, can hinder my prayer life. See, it can hinder my prayer life because it's like a two-party check. I get the grace, but I need to have this. It depends a lot on how I'm managing this marriage with my wife. That as unto the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace, that means favor, the grace of life, the favor of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So that's big to me. Now let's look at the book of Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Let your children know, have their confidence in God where their relationship with you is concerned. Have them to know scripture so that they will, so this thing between them and God, and you be out of the loop. They're not doing it as unto you. They're doing it as unto God. Because your children can see some stuff in your flesh that's not perfect. Right? They really can. They are under authority, but they can see stuff. And your employees can see stuff. And people can see your flesh. And they can see stuff wrong. So it should not be based on what they know they are privy to about you, or how you make them feel. It should be as unto God. See, children, obey your parents in the Lord because this is the right thing to do. That's why you do it. Not, you don't do it because they earned it. No, your parents probably didn't earn it, and you probably haven't earned it. I probably haven't earned it to the degree that they should do this, but if it's right, they teach them to do it because it's right. And see, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment that has a promise connected to it. You want your children to honor you because this is the first commandment that has a promise connected to it, a promise that it'll be well with you. You want your children to do well in life, teach them to honor you, and they can tap into a grace that's not available to people who don't honor their parents. If your parents will honor you, you have a responsibility to teach your children to honor you, because that is a way to tap into grace of God, the favor of God on their lives. And the promise is that you'll be well. I mean, it'll go well with you. And then if they get sick, this come up on them, they can say, Father, I thank you, I honor my parents. And that'd be more ammunition. It'll be well with them and that they'll live a long time. That's what you want to teach children, and teach them to teach their children. This is why you honor, because it's right and it's a promise. It's staying between you and God. You want to honor your parents and let God see you moving like that, because God will see it, and he already promised. If you can see that's in place, that child's going to have favor on their life. The favor of God on their family and your life. Okay? Let's look at the fourth verse. And you fathers, that means parents, don't provoke them to anger. Provoke not your children to wrath. But instead of making them mad and angry because you got authority, you have a legal right authority, he said, don't use that to make them angry because it'll provoke them to wrath. But instead of doing that, bring them up in the way that God deals with you. It's a certain nurturing and admonition. This is how you do it. You tell them what to do, and you tell them why you're doing it. Why do it this way? And then if they don't do it, you make them do it. You do it when you train up a child. Child means you're a little baby. Don't wait until they get old and try to train them up. Train them up a child, little old child, and then you make them do right. You tell them what to do. Then if they don't do it, you make them do it. I'm not talking about abuse them, but you make them do it. Even if you have to do whatever you have to do, you make them get it right. And after a while, you won't have to make them get it right anymore. They'll do it whether you're there or not. They'll catch on. I'm doing this as unto God. I'm not doing this trying to get any person. And on their jobs, they'll do things as unto God and not do things so that boss can see them. They do things as unto God, whether the boss is looking or not. You train them to operate with the authority in their life being God. Amen. Say honor. I'm trying to tell you how the scripture reveals that we can have favor on our lives. It affects your income. It affects your health. It affects your well-being. It affects your relationships. And the key is this honor business. If I relate to you in a certain way, some things I do for the sake of the members. Me, as a pastor, I do it as unto God for the sake of members. It's certain things that if something comes on television, you know, I might want to look at it. And I just say, no, because if that go into my spirit, it might affect my anointing. And my anointing is for you to be blessed. So I have to manage my life for the sake of the people. And if you relate to me a certain way, it's not because I'm so good, but if I have a place in your life and that honor is there, then that anointing from God will work to bless your life. So when I'm delighted in how you relate to me, part of it is because I know it's good for you. Amen. Yeah. And so this honoring, you honor people. With substance, you honor people with your effort in their sharecropping. God gives a ministry, and anybody who comes to work in that ministry, you honor that place with your effort and your money and so forth and so on. Okay. So this honor is the secret. It's the key. And this message is for you to have in your, you might already know it, but this message is so you can walk around with this revelation of honor. Tapping into God's grace. And it takes humility to live, to give honor to somebody else and to honor in those relationships. Okay, now let's look at the book of Romans, the 12th chapter. Are y'all happy y'all at church today? Now y'all already know about this honor, but I'm saying when you are strengthened in the beliefs, see, you've heard about these things, but you're strengthened in these beliefs so that these beliefs will. You won't abandon those beliefs under pressure. Sometimes bosses don't relate to you right. But whether they are harsh or not harsh, you understand that you honor them even if they are harsh. Oh, I guess we got to say that. Got to look at that. We'll try to do that. Let's see. All right. Well, we'll stick with this. Romans, the 12th chapter. See, even if a person is harsh, if they are your boss, you don't have to be harsh with them just because they're harsh. Because you want to get the favor of God working. Amen. You want to keep that favor working. Sometimes it's the enemy trying to cut you off from the favor of God. You might win the argument. You might win that interaction. But you want the favor of God. It's more valuable than winning that interaction. All right. If Romans, the 12th chapter. 10th verse. I think any child who comes today can leave church and say, well, what did Pastor talk about? Honor. Okay. Okay, 12th chapter of Romans in the 10th verse. Okay. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Outdo each other in that category. Outdo each other in honor. Everybody who's born into the kingdom of God is a king. Jesus is a king. And the thing about the kingdom of God is all of God's family members are kings. The moment you are born into the kingdom of God, you become a king in God's sight. Jesus presents you to God as a king. Whether you knew it or not, you are a king. Let's go on and verify that from Scripture. Let's look at the first chapter of Revelations. So we'll know we are kings. Once you are born into the kingdom of God, every citizen of heaven is a king. This first chapter of Revelations in 5th verse. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten, first begotten, not the only one, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, if that was good enough, if that was all, it would have been good. But he didn't just stop there. He washed us from our sins in his own blood, and God and Jesus has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So when Jesus brought you into, when you came into the kingdom of God, he made you a king. You're also a priest. You bring other people into the kingdom of God. But you are a king. And when you are a king, one thing about a king, whenever you give to a king, you honor that king. But when a king receives something, it obligates that king to give to the king that gave him something. You remember King Solomon? Say yes or no. Okay, King Solomon, there was a woman, a queen of Sheba, came to see him. And she brought him so much stuff. Oh, she bought him a lot of gifts, and she just did that so she can be around him and observe. She had heard about him, but then before she left, King Solomon was obligated to outdo her in his giving. So he did. He outdid her in his giving to her. And this honor, you today, let's outdo each other in honor. Prefer one another. Prefer one another. Go on and give in and trust God for the results. Prefer one another in this honor category. Amen. Glory to God. Now, I want you to now turn to the book of Ephesians, the second chapter. I'm going to at least announce these ABCs of a healthy family. We talked about this, the key to having the favor of God on your life. Are y'all going to do this today? Yeah, when you go home, if your husband is not here, just find something good to say about him. If he ties his shoes good, just compliment him on how good he ties his shoes. You'd be amazed how much effect that has on a man's life when you find something good and say that about him. You'd be amazed at how much it affects a man's life when you see something bad and you say that about it. Your words are so powerful. So let's honor one another. Figure out a way to make your children feel good about themselves. Go on, give them a call and say something that makes them feel good about themselves. Now, let's write these down, because I'm about to close this message, but at least I want to peep into what it takes to have a healthy family. In order to have a healthy family, you need these three things going on. You need affirmation. That means appraisal, affirmation. People in your family need affirmation, whether they know it or not, or whether they say it or not, but it, now you know. Your daughter needs affirmation. People in your family, they need a blueprint. A blueprint. You know, a blueprint is letting you know, this is how we do it. And everybody in your family needs celebration. Celebration. I'm going to mention this, and then I'm going to go on, and I don't want to give you too much. I want to give you a bite size so that at least you can remember and put this into action this week and the rest of your life. It's like a piece of gold, like a diamond. Everywhere you turn it, it'll bless you. Diamond, you know, you do it like that, it sparkles. And you can have this revelation about how important honor is, and it'll bless you wherever you turn it. Okay, honor all men. And you want to make sure you honor people who in any kind of authority in your life. Okay, I told a lady, a young girl, you know, we've been having epic in the sanctuary, and I told a young person who had, in her life, she had, I don't know, she actually was attempting suicide or did it in order to get attention. It doesn't matter. But she had a couple of times come across like she was trying to kill herself. And I just had a little space of time to talk to her by herself. And I told her about how valuable she was. Listen. And Pastor told her how beautiful she was. I said, "You're a very pretty girl." Okay. So, you know, fine, you tell her. But I also said, now, guys will try to punch your combination. I told her about how to handle it when a guy uses those kind of things to try to get an advantage on her. I told her about what he would do and how he would try to get her, you know, "I love you and I love you," and then pull this, "I thought you loved me." You know how that is? And within 2 weeks, I'm telling you, the person came back. She was so thrilled. She was so excited. She said, because she had a boyfriend, she said, "Pastor, my boyfriend did that." And I said, "Well, if you're going to have that, you're going to have to go on," because she's 17 years old. "Well, you going to," you know, she stood her ground. "Well, you're going to have to go on," because she had that value in herself. And said, "This is not about this," because she had been affirmed. And she was so happy. And she said, "Well, you just have to go on." And she was just so happy. She wanted to tell me, "It happened just like you said." And I told him that he's going to have to just go on. And then he said, "I thought you loved me." She said, and he said, "I thought you loved me." See, it didn't faze her. Amen. Your family needs affirmation. Tell them that you love them. Hug them. And they need affirmation. They need a blueprint. We'll talk about that. And they need celebration. Don't y'all like celebration? God likes celebration. He's prepared a big celebration for everybody. And he said, everybody can come. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. And what we are doing, letting our light shine, we are helping other people come on in. And only when you get to heaven will you know the effects that you had for letting your light shine. Your family light's supposed to shine. People supposed to look at your family and say, "Something about that. I don't know what they're doing." But then you let your light shine, it'll cause other people to come to the light of Jesus Christ. And then they'll be in that great celebration when we get to heaven. Amen. Y'all receive that? Okay, it's offering time. We are, praise the Lord. We give because we love God. And there is a reality that it is more blessed to give than to receive, you know. Giving activates receiving. So we should expect a return.